Blog Talk Radio.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter. We shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
You have tried to change my country. You've tried to change my life. No one ever asked me if I thought that this was right. It's time for us to tell you that we will go through hell to defend our country and to help BDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to get that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. God save England and the UK. Lied to all the people and tried to take away their rights. But we won't let you sell this land, not without a fight. It's time for us to tell you that you can go to hell. It's time for us to stand and fight and join the EDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. God save England and the UK. Forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. So save England and the UK.
We most certainly do. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the English Defence League radio show, broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com, the English Defence League radio show, the truth and the voice of the EDL. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, my panellist and my wingman will be joining me tonight. That's Dave Agador Milner will be joining me this evening. I'll just see. We've got Dave, is that you there at the moment? I'm just so glad to see someone else come show.
No, Jeff, I'm my usual 11111. I'm not sure who that is.
No, I'm not, yeah. But if you bear with me, 5135, we'll bring you in a minute. I'm just going to have a quick rundown on the script and what the show is going to be about tonight. So this is the English Defence League radio show, Heroes and Weasels. And I've got to thank you, Dave, for the slides and for the scripting as well tonight. Of course, welcome to the English Defence League radio show with your host, that's me, Jeff Spider Mitchell. And as I say, my wingman and my panelist this evening is Dave Hector Milner. Tonight, we will be talking about the growing momentum of the hashtag IAmSoldierX with the petition about the horrible way our military are treated by the MOD and the elitists and the government betrayal of our military. On behalf on the military. It goes on unabated, which is really sad. We will also be discussing the Tommy Robinson's appearance this Tuesday at the Old Bailey. The question which is everyone is asking, why does Mr. Robinson have to appear at the Old Bailey for something so petty? Is the reason that this is all about trying to silence those that speak out against the Islamization of the United Kingdom? We will cover this and more. And Dave, as Dave would say, should stand by for action. No surrender ever. With that, I'd like to bring you in, Dave. Good evening, my dear friend, and I hope you well, and I hope everything's well in the United States.
Yeah, Jeff. You know, I'm very well. You know, we've got a big show today. We've got, if you want Tommy Robinson clips, we've got Tommy Robinson clips. We got Tommy Robinson clips for days. Actually, we've got. We've got four clips that we want to go through, and then and we'll discuss each one. So we'll have two for each half of the show. It's going to be pretty good, and I just hope everybody enjoys it. So for those who have been wanting Tommy Robinson clips, we've got some Tommy Robinson clips, and things are heating up all over, Jeff. Things are heating up all
they
over.
Certainly are.
There you are, man.
And the momentum is definitely
big
growing.
Show.
Yeah, it certainly is, Dave. And I was just wondering, I have got someone who's hanging on here, Dave, and I was wondering, before we start to discuss certain issues, whether I should just bring the person in and let them have a chat with us, Dave.
Well, yeah, maybe for a few minutes, that might be good, yeah. Sure.
Okay, Dave, so with that, I'm 5135, if you'd like to give your name, nice to have you join us this evening on the English Defence League radio show. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, it's Michael Green. How you guys doing, Jeff and Dave? How have you been?
Hey, Michael. Been a while. Hope you're well, brother.
Yeah, everything's here. Excuse me. Everything here is okay, except I'm not going to get into it now because your program is focusing on other topics. But there's a what I would call an invasion force headed towards the American-Mexican border. And it's pretty much... It's kind of dominating the news cycle here in America, and it's all over mainstream news media. And, of course, conservative news outlets are focusing on it. So it's something
am I right in my thinking, Michael, that it seems like the people concerned, the governments, realise that Donald Trump, or your president, meant business, that he would not just bring ordinary people to the to where the main route is, but to bring his military. And I think that's a warning shot across the bows that he's not putting up with this bullshit anymore from these people. And anybody that tries to engage in trying to cause chaos on your borders. And I think it might have worked, Michael. I don't know. It seems there was quite a lot of them have been turned around and heading back to Honduras or wherever they come from. So seems like some real pure politics has worked. Because, you know, they weren't getting through no matter what they tried to do this time. But anyway, thank you, Michael.
Well, they got through, just quickly, what happened is they got through the Guatemalan-Mexican border. The deal was the Mexican police were going to come out in force and stop them from getting to the American border and supposedly vet them. And then the ones that seemed to be eligible for legitimate refugee status would then be allowed to continue on to the American border. But the whole thing is just a bunch of nonsense. And right now it's undetermined what the final outcome will be, but not a single one of them, not one of them, should be permitted to cross over into the U.S.
I agree. I mean, we have this discussion all the time, don't we, Michael? You know, and it's infuriating that this continues. And it's been doing it for many years. I mean, it's not just since being part of Donald Trump being the president or anything like that. But this has been going on for a long time, hasn't it? And there needs to be, you know, some good points of law to go in to stop this stupidness, you know, this chaos. Because the Democrats just want open borders totally and everybody flood through. You know, and that's not the way that you run a country, is it? I think you would agree. And I think Dave's there. I don't know Dave's thoughts about this, but it is quite worrying for people like yourself, Michael, and other good people on them borders lines anyway.
Yeah, right. Well, and yeah, it is a worrying and concerning issue. And in the coming weeks, you know, especially as it gets closer to the election, it is going to be a thing to worry about. But yeah, Mike, as you know, we are focusing on a few different things, you know, today. But I do want to thank you for calling in, man. You know, I appreciate it. And yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
how's
Micah? You talk now, Michael.
She's doing better. Thanks for asking. Yeah, she's doing better.
Right.
You know,
so
she's
picking up a bit now. Is
really
putting a bit of weight on there, brother?
Some. Not. She's not where she needs to be, but she's definitely improved over the past couple months. Thanks for asking. And just to let you guys know.
No, it's been on my mind, Mike. Well, every time I go to
I appreciate it.
If I go to bed at night, I always say a few prayers on behalf of yourself and your dear dog there, because he does awesome work, your dog. But absolutely brilliant to
anyway,
hear you calling in tonight with your concerns about what's been going on at the border. So maybe when we got more clear or not, maybe you can call back in and we can have some future discussions about different things of what you've been up to as well, Michael. How about that, mate?
That would be great. Listen, I do want to let you know that my thoughts and prayers are with Tommy Robinson, and I hope justice is done on October 23rd, but, you know, it's very uncertain what will be the outcome. I pray that he will not be sent to prison. And, you know, I'm watching that very closely as people all over the world, you know, patriots and
really
people
who
know.
It's really opened your eyes up to the people around the world, isn't he, Michael? That young man
and
what he's had to suffer. So, Michael, thank you for your thoughts and your kind presence. And if he's listening, I'm sure he would appreciate him and his family. Those kind words that you've offered. So once again, Michael, good to hear you, brother, and good to hear Mike has picked up a bit now, thank goodness. So to speak to you real soon, Michael, and we'll have a longest conversation. Okay, brother?
All
Yes, and yeah. Godspeed to all of you. Godspeed to your mission.
Thank you. Thank you,
Michael.
Appreciate the call, man.
Cheers, Michael.
All right.
Bye-bye, buddy.
Yeah. All right. And, you know, that, yeah, he's right. We are going to have to do something about this, these invasions that continue to go on. And you know, if we have time.
It feels that way, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And if we have time, there is a bit of good news that I came across as I was prepping for the show. But right now, we're going to focus on Tommy Robinson. He's put out quite a few audios, and let me do this first one. This one came out on the 18th. Okay. This one's about 11 and a half minutes long. Also, I just want, as I'm thanking Michael for that call, you know, I just want to say, echo what he said. There are, there are people all over the world praying for Tommy Robinson. But we're going to start with this one here, Jeff, and then we'll discuss it afterwards, okay?
Yeah, man.
All right, here we go. This is going to be about 11 and a half minutes. Here we go.
Thank you, Dave.
Good evening. Just a quick catch-up. I haven't had a chance. We've been on the road again. A quick update with the I Am Soldier X campaign. I've just been to meet a few more squaddies, finding out more stories. There needs to be an actual investigation. The general public really need to know the condition of our army. The morale level, the conditions they're living in. For example, even the food, just everything. It all plays into this I Am Soldier X campaign. There's 40 men sharing on their, how would you say, on their wings. It's like a prison. But there's one working toilet for 40 squaddies. What? It's Britain, it's 2018. We're one of the richest countries in the world. What's the reason for that? The drinking water, the bath water. You've got to see the colour of it. And I've got all pictures and images of this. The food. Food that I simply would not serve to a dog. I've seen the pictures and the images of the food. Now, they say an army marches on its stomach. Not the British Army. They don't, because they're all buying takeaways, because it's cheaper. Well, I started off as a campaign about one young man losing his job. It's just developing and developing, because I've travelled this country now for the last week, meeting serving soldiers at different barracks across this country. And there's so much wrong. We've got lads now in South Sudan. I've spoke to them last night. They're being fed rations. Rations. They're not at war in South Sudan. They're not at war. I believe they have a bill of... They're not at war. They're on a humanitarian mission. And they're being fed rations. Why? All comes down to money. They're having to pay for that. All the British Army lads are paying for their own food. So that surprised me in itself. Did it not surprise you? Us taxpayers, where do you want your money to go? I want it to go to feeding and giving the best possible living conditions as well for our armed forces. This is a fact. When I show you the images, when I'm going to put them into videos, when you see the images and the conditions that some of our armed forces are living in Britain, and the food, you would not put refugees in those camps. There would be outcry if refugees, food and water and conditions were the conditions that our armed forces are living in Britain. There'd be outcry. If you haven't signed the petition yet, we're at 190,000 people now. I will be handing that in. I face court next week. I face court at the Old Bailey on the 23rd. Don't know, ask me why I'm at the Old Bailey. The Old Bailey, the most serious court in our land. I'm before the head judge of Britain, the top number one judge in the country. And this is where it's very surprising for me. I don't have a prosecutor. The judge is acting as the prosecutor am the judge. And I'm not allowed a jury. The judge has actually added two further charges. It was the judge that added the charges, not a prosecutor. So the judge, who I believe I would have presumed a judge has to be independent so he can judge. Well, this judge is prosecuting and judging. So, am I hopeful? No, I'm not. Do I generally believe with this latest I Am Soldier X campaign, these are issues that certainly the establishment would not want being aired. The conditions and the morale of our armed forces. All of us sit at home comfortably, I do, thinking we've got the best army in the world and the men are fighting fit and ready to go. And as I've spent the last week, it's a worrying situation. Because the conditions they're living in, the food they're being fed, and their morale, it's all shit. And there's a reason for that. Because of the funding, because of the support they're receiving. I haven't even touched on PTSD yet. I haven't even touched on it. But the same messages I'm getting it's the same all across this country. I've travelled, I've spent the last week going, Kev's done some driving. I know I always moan at Kev to say he's not a good driver, but he's done some driving. We're sitting now, we've probably got another 4-hour drive to get back home. Just met another load of lads here, just to find out what their views are on the Soldier X campaign. And most of you will be like me. I just thought our armed forces would have had everything they needed. Would have had all the support they need. Not at all. They're being treated like shit. The living conditions, the food, the support, everything. But anyway, I'll make more of that. I'll be releasing a few videos over the next couple of days that will just show us interviewing some of these men. We'll distort their fate, distort their voices, cover their faces. And, as I said, I'm in court on Tuesday at the Old Bailey. And if they weren't, I think there'll be a few people in the establishment who are pretty frustrated with me. So, just for the record, I would never kill myself. I don't know, what was his name? Dr. Kelly, was it, who ended up getting murdered? I would never, ever commit suicide. I would not have a drugs overdose because I'm not on drugs. Clearing a few things up, because I reckon if I hadn't already rattled the cage of the establishment, then this little, what I'd say is a rebellion within the armed forces against the hierarchy, against the taking away of their own freedoms, this is certainly going to upset people up there, people at the top. So every single person I'm speaking to as well, they all want to leave. They're all leaving. They're all leaving. All trying to leave. All want to leave. They're saying, I said, well, if we went to war with Russia next week, what would happen? Half of them saying, we wouldn't fight. Look who we're fighting for. That is the feeling or the mood. It's not good. So, we'll see what happens on my court case. See what happens with Soldier X. We're yet to hear that he's. Well, Sky News. This is another one. Sky News. We all saw their fake reporting on me. Now, when this Soldier X campaign started, the next day, like the government would push their agenda, straight away Sky News came out and said he had a long history of disciplinary problems. This 17-year-old kid, like, he can have a long history. He's 17. How long could he have been in the army? Yeah? But he has a long history of disciplinary problems. I've interviewed someone who works with him. I'll distort their voice. He's got no long history. Sky News have lied from a source in the army. Sky News are playing the machine of the government, like they were with me the other week, which we've all seen them exposed for, like they were today, even with Aaron Banks. It's just what they are. They're there to just distort the truth and to play an agenda and play a certain narrative. It's the narrative they wanted. The narrative they wanted was that this boy was kicked down for a long history of disciplinary. Imagine that. Not only is he willing to serve our country and risk his life and give his life to our country, but then they try and destroy him personally and his reputation by saying he has a long history of disciplinary problems, which he doesn't. Factually incorrect. A lie. So anyway, that's it. I'm going to be going away in the morning. That's why I've just been non-stop to get this campaign up and going so that this boy ain't left on his own. And I'm going to be going away in the morning with my wife and kids for a few days prior to court on the 23rd. Any of you that can be there on the 23rd, we have a stage, a PA system. We have a list of speakers that are going to be talking. We have from Richard Inman from Veterans Against Terrorism, Janice Atkinson. Then she was wonderful and she was brilliant whilst I was in prison. She's an MEP. Myself, Kevin Carroll. Who am I forgetting? What am I forgetting? There's a list. Anyway, Ezra. So if you can join us at court, there'll be. I know there'll be demonstration outside all day, and it will go on till after court. Till hopefully, if I walk out the doors or if I don't walk out the doors, either way, there'll be speeches happening. And that's the other thing I want to talk about. The case that I was reporting on, which is why I was put in prison, it had reporting restrictions. Well, tomorrow, journalists now, finally now, okay. And this is when you see why. They've gone and challenged yesterday at Leeds Crown Court. They've challenged the reporting restrictions. They hadn't challenged them at all. They challenged them yesterday. There's a judgment coming tomorrow at 2 o'clock where we will find out if the reporting restrictions will be lifted. And I'll tell you now, 100% they will be lifted. Do you know why they'll be lifted? Because they can't try me and send me to prison next week unless they lift the reporting restrictions. Because everything I'll talk about in the trial will be to do with that previous trial. So now, when it suits them, the mainstream media and the government will allow these reporting restrictions to be lifted, which shouldn't have been there anyway, in my view. The whole world needs to hear about these trials and cases. So, yeah, it will be lifted tomorrow, and then there's lots that I'll be able to speak about tomorrow once they're lifted, which unfortunately I legally can't now. So anyway, have a good weekend. And to any members of our armed forces, I've seen now that police officers, fire brigade, doctors have now been getting involved in the I Am Soldier X campaign. Anyone who's unhappy, this can be a movement. If you're in the army, if you're serving our queen and country, and you want to write your little message down on a bit of paper, and you want to hide your identity, then I'll make sure that it's publicised. I'll make sure that people hear your message, and hopefully the powers that be will see the huge uprising that has come in and realise that they have to change and have a complete rethink on how our people are treated. And I know that every member of the British public would want our armed services and our personnel to have every bit of support and everything they need. They haven't got it. So something has to change. Something has to give. We want to try and bring that. So thank you. See you later.
Right, Jeff, there you go.
Well, there you go. I mean, and Tommy basically said everything that we was going to talk about for this case, and not only that, the question is why, I'm still asking it, why has Mr. Robinson, a journalist, and also an author, and the founder of the EDL, put in the highest position of court in our land for something so petty. And it seems as though the judge is acting, he's not allowing Mr. Robinson a jury to be heard by 12 men and women, two good men and women. He was making a judgment himself. So this seems rather unfair that he's added two more charges to what Mr. Robinson has been charged with. He's adding more so as he'll get a sentence. But it seems that way. It's definitely prejudiced against Mr. Robinson. We used to have a thing, a due process, and we've been talking about this for a little while, haven't we, Dan, Dave, especially in the United States. Due process. Especially where Justice Kavanaugh was concerned, didn't seem to proceed the way it should do. You're supposed to be, found guilty or tried not guilty to be found guilty. But it seems that the days we live now have gone against the norm jurisprudence isn't jurisprudence anymore. We do live in a very worrying and concerning time. So, Dave, it does seem that this is really, once again, a very unfair. It's called Tommy. So the highest court... Dave, that used to be a court. The Old Bailey, now look it up yourself, ladies and gentlemen, but it used to be where the most notorious criminals, killers, etc., would go and stand in the Old Bailey, and that's a couple of the courts there was classed as the hanging courts, you know. The judge would pass sentence, put a black hat on his head, and pass the sentence down to death. This is how, I mean, okay, we haven't got that, but it's still the most senior of all, the most serious category courts within this land and within the United Kingdom. Dave, what do you think about this? I think it's so unfair the way that Mr. Robinson has been treated this way. Really do.
Well, Jeff, I mean, the thing that I think is motivating them really is that they want a high profile trial here, lots of press. They want to take the evil racist and put him in prison because he said evil racist things and everything like that. I mean, there'll be more about the trial in upcoming
audio.
But Tommy
Robinson has never said anything racial or anything in that. On the contrary, Dave, there's nothing he's ever been charged with that goes that he was racist or racially motivated with anything he said or ever done. He's never been charged with anything of the sort, Dave. That's what I'm saying. It's a confusion, and it's book now sums it all up. Enemy of the state, because he speaks out of the wrongdoing, especially towards their army, our citizens in the country, etc. So that seems the whole thing. He's a very, very high price. Tommy Robinson now, down to them, creating this status is a very high profile person, and which is the world is watching very closely. And everybody thinks a lot of Tommy. You know, okay, he's got enemies out. He's got a hell of a lot of enemies, but he's got a hell of a lot of good friends and people that care.
Well, as I was going to say, Jeff, the fact that he's doing this I Am Soldier X campaign, which is really what this first audio was about, basically, is just another log on the fire as far as the elitists are concerned. They want to spend more money on migrants, on stuffing the UK with as many Muslims as they can, and getting as many of them registered to vote as they can, and furthering the Islamization of the United Kingdom. That seems to be their main focus, and the last thing they want to hear about is, or the last thing they want to happen is to have someone of Tommy Robinson's stature with the people come out and begin talking about these very serious issues that are going on in all of our countries, really. But in the UK, it's worse. It's worse even than it is here in the United States. Here in the United States, we complain because our military personnel, a lot of them are on food stamps, but at least they get that. They don't even get that in the UK, you know. So it's absolutely legit what he's talking about. But the UK government does not want anyone talking about that. What they want to talk about is diversity, political correctness, all this other mess. That's what they want to talk about. That's the thing. Their focus is on that, and Tommy Robinson's focus is on the people. and they want to shut him up and get him out of the way so that this I Am Soldier X thing, they think, Jeff, they think, is going to evaporate. You know, that's what they think is going to happen. It's not going to happen because the fire's been lit. They can imprison Tommy Robinson if they want to, but that's not going to stop I Am Soldier X. Now, Jeff, before we take the break, we've got another audio here from Tommy Robinson that might like to hear. It's about a little over 10 minutes long. You want to jump right into that, buddy?
Yeah, but before we do, I'd just like to congratulate you for what you had to talk about, Dave, the situation. I do like the way you expand on things like that, Dave. And as you was talking, Dave, the thing that came across with Tommy, once again, he's stepping over that line of, the establishment elitist. And the word that comes to my mind, Dave, and probably like a lot of people have thought, that Tommy really, as though he's a sacrificial lamb. Does he believe? I think he believes he must be, Dave. He knows that what he's doing, that there could be the higher sacrifice is paid.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like talking about that, about a man's life. But sometimes I just get this feeling that the cause and everything is even too big for Mr. Robinson, and it's his cup that he's had to take up, and my cup is full, whatever.
Yeah.
But it feels very similar to that expression, Dave, of sacrificial lamb, and calling, and you can't put it off. Of what I said before, it's a calling that it needs to be answered, and it needs to be, played out. I like to say that because it's so serious.
Well,
what I'm saying, Dave.
Well, that's why he said what he did, Jeff.
And take me literally, but it feels like that sometimes with what we've experienced over the last couple of months, and that with the way that he's been treated as a human being, as a citizen of our country, a young man. But Dave, I'm sorry. I just wanted to congratulate you on some of the things that you said. It made me think of what I just said there, brother. So thank you.
Sure. Well, and I appreciate it. And everybody should make note of the fact that he did say he has never considered killing himself, and he's not into drugs because that's the insurance policy in case the government, they do put him in prison. And they try some silly buggers, that they bump him off and then come back later and say, oh, he killed himself, or, he overdosed on drugs or any of that mess. That's just him letting us know that that's complete BS. If they try that, we'll know immediately that that's a big, stinky lie. And I'm going to get into this this next audio here, Jeff. This one is a little over 10 minutes long.
Yeah.
And you did this one yesterday.
Before we do, I hope you don't mind, Dave.
Okay.
I just want to let you know that our Kel's joined us this evening, and she's made a couple of comments. So before we move on for that next soundbite of Mr. Robinson, she goes on to say, Dave, this is a frightening soundbite. The last soundbite, Dave? And, she goes on to say, Tommy's almost writing his own eulogy. I would agree as well, Kel.
Well, he knows.
And
she also
goes on to say, maybe he is. And she also goes to say, can't discharge us all, Soldier X. Once again,
that's
Kel, thank you for that. And she said, oh, you darling. So there you go. Good to have you here, Kelly. Hope you're well, babe.
Yeah, welcome, Kel. And listen, if you want to, if you want it, I'll send you the slide of that weasel reporter that's in there. And we're going to go ahead now with the second audio here. This one is one that Tommy did on the 19th, guys. So here you go. It's a little over 10 minutes long. Here we go.
Thanks, Dad.
So the reporting restrictions of the case in Leeds have now been lifted. This is the case that I was sent to prison for reporting on. I'll just point out, they haven't been lifted because they were automatically going to be lifted. These reporting restrictions would have been on for another possibly 12 to 18 months. They've been lifted because the media, finally, and the only reason why is because I'm in court on Tuesday and they want to be able to report it. The media challenged the reporting restriction on the case. And I've seen some journalists already coming out saying this is the one that we couldn't report on. No, there's no logical reason why you couldn't report on what happened to those young girls. There is a logical reason why you couldn't report on the verdicts, because that could prejudice the next group who were facing trial. I didn't report on the verdicts. I knew the verdicts. Stating the case, that does not cause any prejudice. Now, what I want people... This is the breaking news from this case. The breaking news from this case, that was on Friday afternoon when Judge Marson automatically sent me to prison. He allowed the 10 men, who have all now been found guilty, who are all now serving, I think, 220 years, he allowed those 10 men to go home. He had heard a full trial of evidence from 15 children that said the horrific and torturous crimes these men committed against them. Judge Marson let those men go home. One of those men, Sajid Hussain, packed his suitcase and is currently in Pakistan, sentenced to 17 years in his absence. So, we've all seen it. The judge, after hearing evidence against these 10 men, after seeing that there was not one witness, not one statement, but 15 children gave statements, the judge made the decision that these men posed no risk to the British public and were not a flight risk. Well, one of them's gone. One of them has escaped justice. My point on each one of these cases is, why are these men, with all their links to criminality, to drugs, to weapons, to prostitution, to child trafficking, their life of crime, why are they allowed to be walking the streets for a year, walking in and out of court with big smiles on their faces, awaiting trial? Why are the victims still left fearful of these men whilst they roam the streets? And what now this proves, my Canterbury court case, where I was given a suspended sentence, was because five Muslim men left their DNA after gang raping a child. They all of their DNA was found at the scene. Why were they on bail for a year? Why were they still running the same chicken shop, still having close contact with children? That was my point and my issue with it. As a father and as a member of the British public, they are a danger to young girls. Get them off the street. The judge made the decision not to, but he quickly locked up Paul Golding and Jada Franson, yeah? He let them, one of those men from the Canterbury case, guess what? He went and fucked off to Afghanistan, okay? Now this case again, this one here, Judge Marson, the case that I was locked up for, the case where I was immediately put in prison with no bail, no time to go home to my family, no time to prepare anything. Well, one of the men, Sajid Hussain, packed his suitcase. And I've known this for weeks, but I haven't been able to say it, because I've got the transcripts from the court trial. And the police say Sajid Hussain was last seen leaving his house with two big suitcases. He's been convicted of 17 years in prison, and he has escaped justice. But turn the table. They acted like I was the danger. Everyone acted like it. The press, the media, the establishment, the judge. I was the problem. I was the danger that I needed taken off the street. Meanwhile, all these men have been convicted. They have all been convicted of raping 11-year-old children upwards, 15 young girls. That's 15 that come forward. They have been convicted. And now the media are saying, see, this is why, all acting like they've done a great job, this is why we didn't report it. But you didn't even challenge the restriction. You've only challenged the restriction now. And I bet my life that there will be no future case that has such a blanket reporting restriction in that way. Because I hope that the media will challenge it, or people will challenge it. Because why were the public, for the last year, not allowed to be told the ins and outs and the crimes of this case? Why couldn't it be publicised? Why not? Why not? If you don't give the verdicts, which I never done, which is what they're all saying now, the only thing they weren't allowed to give was the verdict. Okay, so why couldn't anyone talk about it? Why couldn't you even open your mouth without breaking a law? That's not freedom. That's not freedom of the press. That's not a free society. My concern lays with preventing these crimes. To prevent these crimes, every young child and their mum and their dads and their sisters, everyone must understand the complexities of these trials. They must understand the common links between every single one of these trials. They must understand the signs that their children are being targeted by these gangs. They must. And it would help if they were publicised to the whole entire world as much as possible. Not being hidden. Not all you're going to get now. You'll get one day's news. That's what you're getting. You're getting one day's news. Bang. All the newspapers will think, well, we've done our job. We've reported it. Now, you could have reported throughout that trial, if you challenged the reporting restriction, you could have reported the horrific crimes, the racial motives, the religious motives that will come up in all of these trials, the comments they make to these children, all of the telltale signs, how they meet the children, how they groom the children, the signs they play, the way they torture them, the way they manipulate them, the way they separate them from their families. It's a process that happens in every single one of them. And there are telltale signs that you can recognise if this was happening to your daughter at the start of it. When they're all being nice, for the first 6 months they're being nice, and they're buying them new TN trainers, and they're buying them presents and new mobile phones. All of these signs. But anyway, the reporting restriction has been lifted. And the only reason it's been lifted is because I'm in court on Tuesday. That's it. Nothing else has changed. That's it. It's not like we can't say, well, again, I can't say, because there are still certain things people can't say. But that's it. It's been lifted because they want to try me on Tuesday and send me to prison. It's been lifted. Because then they want to be able to report everything about that. But they only challenged it today. Ask yourself why the journalists only challenged this reporting restriction today. Why haven't they challenged it before now? And I see all the journalists jumping up like, oh, look at fucking, we've done our job. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. And no, you haven't. And you're still trying to bend the facts. And again, out of those 20 men, out of the 20 men convicted, just as fits in with the actual facts of all of these grooming trials, 90% were Muslim men. Okay? And again, 20 or 30% were called Muhammad. I'm pretty sure. Go through the list of names yourself. I think there's two non-Muslims in the group of 20. Okay? This is the facts. This is one of the facts I'm actually being prosecuted by a judge on Tuesday for stating out that fact. Unfortunate fact, but it's a bloody fact. So, that it winds me up because I think one of these men has gone. Why was he on bail? The British public, the press, why are you not... Have you seen any of the press? They've all started running their stories. Have you seen any headlines about how one of these men has escaped justice? How one of these men who sentenced to 17 years in prison, on the day that I got remanded from that court, he was allowed to walk out of court, go home, pack his suitcase, after Judge Marston had heard 6 weeks of evidence from 15 victims, not one. It's not like if there was one girl, she could be lying. 15! 15 evidence from 15 women. And he was allowed to pack his suitcase and go home. And go back to Pakistan. Well done, Judge Marston. Well done. And that's my point entirely. My point on all of this has been the protection of the British public and the protection of young girls. As I said outside court, one of those men who's just been sentenced to 228 years was still in contact with young English girls. Well, young girls anyway. He was still in contact. In a business, he was still working in a business that had direct contact with school children. That's my point. So, anyway, I'm going to stop ranting because I'm going to be having a weekend away with my kids, but I've just seen it all breaking on the news. And I thought, why are none of them making a massive deal out of the fact that one of these men, they shouldn't have bail. Why are they on bail walking the streets? I didn't get bail. We've all seen it. I didn't get given bail. How many other people don't get given bail? There's so many people who don't get given bail. These men have been raping children, okay? Not a bit of crime, not selling a bit of gear or something, not doing anything like that. Raping kids and torturing them. And you give them bail, and you continue to give them bail. And that's my point. If you hadn't given them bail, in both cases, there'd be no need for people to be warning the public outside your courthouses. Because they'd be in prison, wouldn't they? Where they belong. And anyway, the press will be jumping over each other to report probably when I'm convicted on Tuesday. But again, you'll read my statement that I'll read out in court that day.
And there we go, guys.
There you go. Once again, Tommy Robinson actually presented some facts that we hadn't a clue about because of the reporting restrictions, Dave. That one
yeah,
of them,
yeah.
When Tommy Marsden had sentenced had Tommy up there, his kangaroo court,
right,
and
yep.
sent him to prison, that one of the people who was on who was ready to be sentenced walked out the court, went home, packed his bag,
mm-hmm.
and disappeared over to Pakistan.
Yep.
Isn't there an extradition order that you can, if you've got someone who's been sentenced for that, have we got an extradition order with Pakistan? Because he can't escape justice as such, but maybe you can if you escape to Pakistan. Oh, Pakistan.
Yeah.
Pakistan, sorry.
Yeah. Well,
or Pakistan, anyway.
Slip of the mind, yeah. Yeah, you're right, Jeff. I mean, that's it. That's a mind blower to me. You know, is that this thing happens, and you know, what do you get? You know, I mean, Tommy Robinson gets sent to prison immediately by the same sleazeball apology for a judge that just lets these others go. Just lets them. You know, let's go on, but oh yeah, you get bail, yeah, you can go home, sure, yeah, man, yeah, we'll, you know, we'll get it, yeah, yes, sir, you know, it beggars belief, it's
the same thing. All those children,
yeah.
with absolutely heartbreaking stories of what had happened,
yeah.
the torture, the rape.
Yeah.
You know, everything. He heard this
mm-hmm.
from different witnesses time after time. And he still allowed these load of low-life scumbags
mm-hmm.
to walk out of his court. Go home, one of them, pack his bag, and depart to Pakistan. That's
yeah.
just... It beggars the belief. I don't
it
know,
does.
Tell...
You have to wonder what's the guy
using
for conscience.
And that's been
yeah.
quite polite, Kel. Just a little bit. Let's darken his
sphincters.
Name a little bit. It was going back a number of years ago that there was a paper article about him being involved with a very young child back in the day. But it was quickly dropped.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just recycle that a little bit. Probably there's no foundation to it because obviously they lose the foundations easy, don't they, Dave? You know.
It's really easy, Jeff, to have institutional memory failure, especially when it comes to one of their own. And you know, I really wonder. I have to wonder what this guy uses for a conscience. You know. Because, I mean,
yeah.
we know what Tommy Robinson suffered in prison. I mean, quite honestly, any fair-minded judge on Tuesday would just sentence him to time served and send him home. You know, but he's obviously fearful that's not going to happen. But, you know, I mean, it shows the double standard. It's right there for the entire planet to see. And it also points up, Jeff, the weaselly press. I mean, that's why I put the slide
yeah.
in that I did, you know, yeah, lift reporting restrictions. So I can virtue signal because that's why they want it. They want to splash the big headlines, you know, Tommy Robinson sent to prison. That's what they want for the late papers on Tuesday.
They
don't care about justice.
The fees to be lifted.
Exactly.
But once
that
was lifted, then we find out all the darkness that's gone underneath it, that we realised that one of them, that when Tommy was sent to prison the same day, that this person was released from the custody of the courts and told to go home. As Kel said there in the chat, she goes, why didn't they even revoke the passports? She says,
that's a good question, Kel.
Why didn't they revoke
it?
And
great question.
We would all say that, Kel.
Yeah,
it's quite obvious that they didn't want to make a fuss over.
That would be racist. That's what that would be. We know Islam is not a race.
A group of people that went about their evil, dastardly acts on these young children.
Yeah.
Am I right, Dave?
Yeah, you're right. It's like they didn't do it because, you know, even though Islam is not a race, as we all know. You know, that would be racist. We can't take away their passports or revoke their passport. This is just flaming ridiculous that this happened to Tommy Robinson.
The Britons
and
all over us. That's what they think, Dave. That they might be inundated by some of the peers, the Muslim peers have been on their cases, Dave. That they might not be able to get future, you know, they might not be able to be guaranteed a quick foot up for the next position if they go along with the narrative, correct?
You know it, man. Jeff, now, if you'd like to call back in, just to make sure you don't go over, we'll go ahead and do the second half of the show, brother. I've got a tune that's about 3 minutes long, so, if you want to call back in, we'll go ahead and do this. You ready?
I certainly will. Thank you very much, Dave. And it's good to have Kel here joining us today. She's making some great
Kel,
comments
there.
Yeah,
Kel, it is good to have you here.
My dear.
It is good to have you here,
Kel.
All right, man. It's good to have Kel here. We've got a busy couple of weeks ahead of us, guys, especially over here in the States and things of that nature. You know, it's lively times we're going to be having. But I'm going to play this tune. It's going to be about 3 minutes. And please stay tuned for the second half of the English Defense League radio show.
Wow, Dave, now let me ask the question. That really sounds a Beach Boy type of a record, but I do not think that that was the Beach Boys. Am I right or am I wrong, Dave? Because it's the first time I've heard that version.
That was Gary Lewis and the Playboys is who that was.
Oh, wow.
You know, but, yeah.
But it was very much Beach Boy. It's the sort of thing that you would expect the Beach Boys to be singing about, wouldn't you?
That's what made me think.
It was just the bass, I mean, that I realised that that wasn't the Beach Boys because of the bass singer. You know that bass singer?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what all the rest of it,
right.
You could feel that Beach Boys effect. Yeah, Dave?
Well, yeah, sort of, you could. And Mike Love used to mostly sing bass for the Beach Boys. And he never was quite as bassy as the guy they have that Gary Lewis had, you know, for that one. But, you know, it is still a good, fun tune.
I've got to admit, it's the first time I've heard it, but I was very, very impressed with it. And I did really think straight away when I heard the tune being played out, very, very Beach Boy, but I knew it wasn't simply by their bass singer. I just knew that it wasn't a part of their setup. But, you know. Thank you, Dave. It was great.
Welcome, man. You're welcome. And, welcome everybody back to the second half of the English Defense League radio show. Yeah, man. I mean, and we got Kel with us in the chat room. Kel the Infidel. Yeah, go on, girl. Yeah. With her own great show.
And she goes
by
on
the way.
To say, Dave, she can't wait for us to join her next month when me and you, the terrible twins, are in her studio tipping things up and causing chaos like we do.
That's true. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you're going to have to nail things down, Kel. The party could get a little rough as always.
I think she wanted to tell you about leaving the biscuit lid off, Dave, you know, the biscuit barrel. Dave.
Just put some extra chocolate ones out. It'll be all right. I'll help myself to some of those, and everything will be good. I mean, guys, it's gonna. Oh my God. The longer things go on, and the more things happen. If nothing else, here in the States, Election Day is gonna be a mess. I was telling this to Jeff, listeners, that there are rumors now. That in some of our cities here, especially the ones where Democrat mayors are controlling them, and they have Democrat governors, there is word circulating around that Antifa are going to try and stop anybody that they think might vote Republican. This is going to be a hot dumpster fire of a mess. We may not even know, listeners, on Wednesday the 7th of November. How things shake out, just because of all the lawsuits and recounts and all the other stuff that's going to go on, but we will definitely have some stuff to talk about with Kel, when you and I get on there, whether the good side wins, loses, or whether we don't know yet. I think we're going to have a lot of stuff.
We can all consult together, can't we? If it is. A blue wave. I doubt that very much. Wave, which they've been predicting.
Yeah.
I'd just like to let you know that Kel says, I'll have plenty of Diet Dr. Pepper in the green room, she says, Dave.
Oh, thanks, Kel. Beautiful, beautiful.
She looks after us, mate. She looks after us. And she'll have my special at my special tea. Isn't that right, Kel? PG tips, tea bags, yes?
Well, there you are. Yeah, yeah. She always takes good care of her
they're
guests.
They're like pyramids. Just give you an heads up. The tea bags that I have, normally they're like a pyramid shape. But they make a lovely... If you like tea, and you might not, but some people do. I speak to a lot of my American friends who like a cup of tea, believe it or not. But it's done in such a shape that the tea, you know, you get the true strength of the tree tea. So just to give all of our listeners, our American and Canadian listeners, etc.
So it's pyramid shape.
Our ways that we do things, the etiquette.
It's pyramid shaped, and of course we know that's what Nefertiti said. Not tonight. It's my pyramid. But Jeff, we're gonna. I stole that from Robin Williams.
Ellie, what are we gonna do with Mr. Milner? What's he like?
Robin Williams, brilliant comic. Dave, he came up with that one.
Brilliant.
It was great. Oh yeah, yeah. Definitely. Robin Williams was a brilliant comic. Anyway, it's a funny line. I love it. But guys, we're gonna go ahead and turn back into our subject here. We have one more audio from Tommy Robinson, and this one isn't very long, but it really is one that you got to hear it. Okay, that's all I can say. You got to hear this one.
Kel's rolling up laughing at what you just said a minute ago, Mr. Milner. Go ahead, mate.
Well, this one is just under 6 minutes long, guys. This one isn't going to be very long, but when you hear it, you'll know why I'm going at. Okay, here we go, guys. I'm going to go ahead and play this.
Barnett. God, it's warm in here, man. So, just thought I'd take the opportunity to respond to some of the articles that are out there. I've seen The Guardian, I've seen The Metro, I've seen The Standard, I've seen The Independent. All of them running articles of how Tommy Robinson should apologise to the victims of the Huddersfield grooming gang. That's right, I should apologise to the victims. Do you know what I do? I apologise to every one of them. I apologise to them for the fact that Britain allowed this to happen to them. I apologise to them for the fact that the police done nothing, even when they were beaten, battered and bruised after being raped in the moors, in fields. The police still didn't press charges. I apologise for the fact that the girls' mums phoned and begged and cried themselves to sleep nightly, asking and begging for the people in positions of power. In our country, we have a system where when there's vulnerable children, people in positions of the council, of social services, of the police, are supposed to be there to protect them. So yes, I apologise that our country wholeheartedly let you down. If you notice now, the point I was making with these trials, if there wasn't a reporting restriction for the last 12 months, bearing in mind they've lifted it, they weren't going to lift it. They weren't willingly lifting it. They lifted it after a challenge by the media. A challenge that the media decided not to do 12 months ago. Okay, they were quite happy not reporting on any of these crimes until the end. What you've seen now is when the verdicts have come out, when they're allowed to report it, one day's news, okay? And now all of them have already, they've already had enough of reporting on what happened to these girls. Now it's bash Tommy Robinson with this story. They talk about me trying to politicise and use gain of these trials. Look at them. One day they've given, one evening of news, and then it's Tommy Robinson could have collapsed this trial. Now, just for all of those reporters, for Piers Morgan, for all of those alike who are messaging this, to say, look, he risked the trial. The court transcripts of the judge and the CPS both state nothing Tommy Robinson said could have caused prejudice to the trial. That means, for all you retards out there, that I didn't and couldn't have prejudiced the trial. Because all I said was what was already in the public domain. I made sure of that. I didn't assume guilt. I made sure of that. I made sure that everything I went on my training course at one of London's top law firms for contempt of court, I made sure I stuck by those guidelines. Now, am I sorry? More people, after me being imprisoned, yeah, it was crap, but more people than ever across this world are watching and reading and listening about Muslim rape squads that have been targeting our daughters. More people than ever. And I'm sweating in this room. But so I just thought I'd clear up, and it's so obvious to look. It's so obvious. Just look. Just search now. Tommy Robinson Huddersfield. You'll find all the hit pieces. All of them coming out together. All the journalists. Everyone with a blue tick. Everyone with a blue tick, basically. Coming out together saying, oh, look, he could have destroyed it. No. And all of these people, Lizzie Dearden, one of the people who runs a story, she runs a story about me, saying how I could have jeopardised this trial. In the court transcripts for my trial, which I've got, which I'll be producing as evidence on Tuesday, in the court transcripts, Lizzie Dearden, the same journalist writing the hit piece on me now, is named as breaching two reporting restrictions for the same case the same weekend. The only difference is Lizzie Dearden is very politically correct, won't mention the at all the cause of this or the reasoning why these men have these misogynistic and sexist views. Nothing, of course, to do with their religious beliefs. Nothing at all. Lizzie Dearden won't mention any of this, so Lizzie Dearden gets away with it. She doesn't get hauled behind before the court or put in prison. Because I'll tell you why. Because Lizzie Dearden, unfortunately for you, Lizzie, only a maximum of about 30,000 people read your news, The Independent. I think your maximum readership is 50,000. So, of course, the government don't give a shit about you when you report all of their little toxic things. The difference is, when I do a live stream, like this one, it will end up going to hundreds of thousands, if not eventually, millions of people. Which is why they want to shut me down, not you. They're not bothered about you. You play the mainstream line. You play the line that, oh, every, this could be anyone, and there's no problem here. It's got nothing to do with Islam. It's nothing to do with them. Whereas the reality is very different. The British public are waking up to that, thanks to our own platforms. So how long we have these platforms, well, I don't know. But I just thought I'd clear up all of these articles I'm reading. I'm seeing MPs. MPs now coming out. Check this. MPs are now coming out saying how I must apologise. In this Huddersfield grooming case, it turns out that one of the victims wrote to the Prime Minister, one of the victim's mums, begging for help. One of the other victims went to her MP. So her MP knew. Her MP knew about these rapes and gangs before any of them were prosecuted. What did he do? Do any of you lot remember seeing them screaming on TV? Do any of you lot remember seeing any of these people talk about it? Any of these people? Or did, were they all happy to let these young girls be sacrificed at the hand of multiculturalism and the altar of diversity in our country? Anyway, I'm going to get back in the swimming pool.
And that's
well,
it, Jeff.
There you go. And I think, as usual, Mr. Robinson has summed it up so well with the way that things have been played out. And, of course, you get the Huddersfield Press asking Tommy to basically apologise for what's been going on. Tommy has drawn attention to what's been going on for a number of years, you know, and of course, I mean, Tommy did apologise on behalf of our government, on behalf of our police, mm-hmm. social services, etc., who are not doing their jobs. But why else would Mr. Robinson have to apologise? What did he do wrong that needs to apologise, Dave? I can't see anything in what he says or what he does that would condemn him to actually write a piece to make a formal apology to parents of children that have been raped and abused in this horrific way, and no help given by social services or the police or anybody else except the people like Mr. Robinson and people like the ADL who looks into this mm-hmm. and does not give up on these kids. If he could be the voice of those children, like we, the ADL, are a voice for children and people, that's what we will continue to do. And the only apology we can apologise, all of us, that the the government and the police are not doing their jobs, and the social services are not doing the job in which they are quite well paid to do. And it's a disgrace that our country is in such a situation. But people like Tommy, people like the EDL and other people doing what we do are often exposed as causing waves, causing problems. We're the main problem. No, we're a symptom of the problem that you've created. We had to come about. Mr. Robinson had to come about because of your in complacency towards other people and children and the greater well-being of our citizens in this country. Am I right, Dave? Have I summed that up just right?
No, yeah, man, you have, and so did he. And I want to read this. This came across about an hour ago, all right? This is Tommy Robinson's response. You know, I'm going to read after I read this tweet from Naz Shah. Now, remember, Naz Shah is the one that retweeted and liked a tweet that was put out that said, those abused girls in Rotherham and elsewhere just need to shut their mouths for the good of diversity. Okay, she says in this latest wonderful tweet of hers, far right extremism needs to be challenged. We cannot let a hate monger who seeks to poison minds and inspire the hatred of others denigrate and exploit the image of our armed forces for his perverted gains. That's what this bitch had to say. And yeah, I'm an American. Try and charge me, bitch. Now, this is what Tommy Robinson has to say, okay? You know, and Lord, I do apologize for saying bitch on Sunday, but you know, anyway. Okay.
What Tommy Robinson says is... that expression where she's concerned any day of the week, mate. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay, well, what Tommy Robinson said an hour ago is, this is the anti-Semitic Labor Minister of State for Women, which is just a, you know, that's a laugh in itself. You know, it's a dark laugh, but it's a laugh. But for women equalities, okay? He calls her Nazi Shah. Perfect. She calls me a hate monger and is in a job that is supposed to protect women whilst retweeting and liking a tweet that said all these girls raped by Pakistani Muslim gangs should shut their mouths for the sake of diversity. The hypocrisy is unbelievable. She should understand the problem with the culture and practice of these men firsthand. Here we go, guys. Listen to this. Her father ran off with a 16-year-old child next door, and Naz was then sent to Pakistan for 12 years old for a forced marriage when she was 15. So there you go. And this is on Tommy Robinson's Facebook page, guys. You can get all this. You get all the videos and everything off there, and you can read this off there as well. you know, there you are, Jeff. I mean, I have to say,
like a death flower keeps rising, that Naz Shah. Didn't it? It's like death rose that keeps rising from the grave.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, because as Tommy said, and we all know that she's an anti-Semitic, she's quite often spoke about the Jewish situation, the problem, often.
Yeah.
So we know the way that she feels about diversity, that these young girls have been raped to shut up for the sake of diversity. I mean, the ignorance and the hypocrisy of these people, as I say, no bounds, Dave. And like they always do, they don't care. They don't care. Just so as they can promote this death cult of theirs, Islam. That's it, the death cult of Islam, isn't it, Dave?
Oh, yeah. It is. I mean, that's what's the root of it, is the death cult of Islam. And, it, you know, it just outrages me no end that these lefty so-called journalists now have the tinplated gall to say that Tommy Robinson should officially apologize for, you know, okay. To those that might be listening, and there may be a few. Some of them listen to this show.
Yeah.
No, you guys should apologize because you're an insult to journalism. You knew that this kind of thing was going on, and you knew about it for decades. We know that this kind of thing has been going on for in the UK for 30 years. You didn't report on it. And the main thing you didn't report on was the fact that the prime mover for this behavior is Islam. And you didn't do that because you were afraid of being called racist, even though Islam is not a race. And let me tell you something there, quote-unquote journalists. If you had all come out at the same time and said, no, there's a problem with Islam and it needs to be addressed and solved, so that these things never happen again, if you had all come out en masse and done it, then there would have been a wave of activity. You want to talk about waves. There would have been a wave of activity. The government would not have been able to ignore it. And countless lives of young girls and young boys would have been spared. But as it is, lives have been ruined. And it's not Tommy Robinson's fault. It's your fault. You want to see who needs to apologize? Look in a mirror.
Dave, Will said, and that's just about right. It seems if we try or to do what Mr. Robinson does, speaking out against what's going on, that we should be demonised. We should make formal apologies, maybe to the Muslims of Britain, that we've upset them. With what we've had to say. Well, if we've upset a few people, it's too bad. It's too bad. The truth hurts. The truth will always hurt because that's all we ever offer. The same with Mr. Robinson, same with a lot of us that do what we do, and people like sitting in the chat room with us, Kel, she does on her shows. We speak about honestly, integrity, and what makes people, you know, tick, and what doesn't, and that's what we explain week in, week out, don't we, Dave? Don't Kel.
Absolutely.
Thank you for your summing up there. I'm just looking at the time, time once again is runs away with us, but. My goodness me, what a great show this evening, Dave. Thank you for all the great work that you've done with presenting these clips of Mr. Robinson, three of them altogether, and, of course, some of the summing up as well, Dave, and, of course, Kel in the chat room, putting some things in herself there. So thank you, Dave, and before we move on, I'd like to just ask you, Dave, I know you're going to be busy this week, where everybody could maybe catch up with you, Dave, during the week and what you're doing so that they can all catch up with you, mate.
Well, check out the Unpleasant Blind Guy page, please, and thank you, Jeff, and thank you, Kel, for being here. Check out the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com. I'm on there through SHR Media, and I'm also on High Plains Pundit Talk Radio and the Western Free Radio Network. My show times are 1 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday, and that's 6 p.m. British Summer Time, and I bring out new shows at midnight on Saturdays. That's 5 a.m. on Saturdays, British Summer Time. And right now I'm doing the second part of a special on the Me Too movement and modern feminism and how it's affecting us and how it could affect our elections, called vagination. And it's, I don't want to blow
vagination,
my own horn, but
that's
you
a great
know,
title,
yeah,
Dave. Vagination.
Yeah. hopefully, please give it a listen. And I'm going to be putting out a pre-election special, this Saturday, and I'm going to have a special guest that I'm going to be doing the show along with, and it's one you're going to want to hear. We got big things going on. You know, it's going to be off the hook here in the United States. I think everybody knows. You know, but anyway, I just want to say to the foot soldiers, angels, and supporters of the cause of the English Defense League and of Mr. Tommy Robinson and the British military and my brothers and sisters in the United States, the supporters of our military and the patriots here, the patriots around the world, be blessed and no surrender. Back to you, brother.
No surrender ever, Dave. Thank you very much for that. And also, as I say, we've got to thank Kel for a few things that she's been saying in the chat room this evening. And you can catch up with Kel on her show tomorrow at, I think it's 7 o'clock or 3 p.m. No, whatever. 7 p.m. British summer time and whatever time that is. Hey, what am I like? But Kel's, she's on a couple of two or three times in the week. She has the IAW or the Fox show tomorrow, and then Tuesday Global Patriot Radio. That is on Tuesday evening from about 11 o'clock our time, and of course Thursday. So there you go, Kel. Give you a big shout out this evening. God, thank you, and Dave. And I'm sorry, my voice is just going now, Dave, and everybody else. So once again, I've got to thank you all for being here this afternoon and joining us on the English Defence League radio show. We've enjoyed presenting the show as much as you great listeners. And also, just had a someone's just popped into the studio. But we're just to let you know, 2572 in. We're just about to close the show down, but thank you very much for being there. So once again, from myself and from Dave and from anybody else associated with the English Defence League radio show, we'll see you again this Thursday. So you take care, stay safe. Please, please be vigilant out there and keep your thoughts and your prayers for Tommy Robinson this Tuesday as he steps forth in the Old Bailey. Let's just hope that things go the right way for that young man. So, cheers, Dave. Thank you very much for everything. And with that, we could go underground. I've got about 2.5 minutes. Probably just about enough to carry this through. Right, so see ya, guys. Take care. God bless you all. No surrender. No surrender ever. Here we go.
Hello, Jeff. And everybody in the UK. Good afternoon, everybody in North America. People might say that I should strive for more, but I'm so happy I can see the fine things happening here today. A show of strength with your 5 Brigade. I'm so happy and you're so fine. You want more money, of course, than the mine. My new deal of sense was for Tommy's wife. And the public gets what the public wants. Pleasure as a hate me, I've been enough already on my fate. People might need some tension to relax me. I'm too busy dodging green and black. To be here for what you get. You made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your leader, and don't waste your trust. And the lies will shut down and their promises run. You'll be killing machines with paper rockets and guns. And the public wants what the public gets. But I don't give up. Let the boys all shout for tomorrow. Oh,
Well, there you go. I didn't quite get it in this week, but never mind. Maybe this Thursday I'll make sure that I leave enough time to finish our final tune for the evening. But I've got to thank everybody that they're listening to, whatever devices you're listening to. We do appreciate it. It was great to have Stuart Kell join us in the chat room this evening as well. So, yeah, we've got an earlier time we'll be doing from Sundays, the old time that used to be the half past eight till 10 o'clock, 1.5 hours. So, yeah, we just thought we'd refer back to one of our older times. I hope you enjoy a new time. It used to be what we always say. But anyway, I'm rambling. But once again, thank you all. Dave, thank you very much for the great work this evening. And I'll speak to you in the week, okay? With that, ladies and gentlemen, this is the English Defence League radio show signing off for tonight. But we'll be back again this Thursday. You take care, as I say, stay safe, and please, please be vigilant. No surrender. Have a good week, ladies and gentlemen. Bye-bye, guys.